to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
This is episode 3 of the YO Nation podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm joined, as always, by the founder of YONation.com, Brad Reed.
Howdy, y'all.
And joining us for the first time on the podcast is a YO Nation blogger, Connor Cunningham.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome, Connor. So let's get the crowd fired up and let's talk some Wyoming football. So the Cowboys got win number 300 at home against the Air Force Falcons, moving their record to 2-0 on the year, and more importantly, 1-0 in the Mountain West Conference. Let's just get your initial thoughts here. Brad, what did you think about the game?
Oh, man, I was so happy they beat the Flyboy there in Laramie. You know, that drive by Colby Kirkegaard at the fourth quarter was... You know, that was a terrific drive. I didn't think he had it in him, but, man, he surprised the hell out of a lot of people. That was a terrific drive. Bottling up that Air Force triple option, that was a lot of fun to watch. Jordan Stanton knocking that fullback out, that was probably not so fun for the fullback, but it was a lot of fun for us guys in the brown and gold. It was a lot of fun to watch. I was on the edge of my seat, and I tried to keep my swearing to a minimum, and I did okay, not great.
All right, Connor, what about you? What are your thoughts after watching the victory on Saturday night?
It was a little bit of what we expected. Low scoring, but I think there was more pass attempts on both sides of the ball, more than anyone would have thought. Definitely Air Force throwing the ball more than 30 times. I've never seen that personally. But Captain Kirk, he stepped up at the end of the game, and they opened up the playbook a little bit and let him go downfield, and he showed off some arm strength and made some big plays and made things happen. And it was, the crowd was into it. It was as live as game as I've ever been to down in Laramie. So it was a blast, yeah. Excited to see what goes on the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm, very good. So you guys hit on a lot of the topics that we're going to get into in this game. And I'll just say that, you know, the game really was kind of different than we expected. We thought it was going to be, you know, a running game battle, but, you know, Air Force came out throwing the ball, and that really caught us a surprise. We missed some tackles, but the coaching staff adjusted and got the W in the end. So let's just talk about this now. Brad, you've been high on the defense and since we started this little show here. And I last week said, you know, I won't believe it until I see it. And now that I've seen us, you know, shut down the Air Force running game, I'm a believer in that front seven, at least at this point in time. And let me just run down some early season stats. Early, I know, but I think these are numbers to get excited about, and then we'll get your guys' thoughts. So just two games into the season, Wyoming ranks 20th in the nation in scoring defense at 12.5 points a game, 29th in the country in rushing defense at 96.5 yards a game, and that's after facing Air Force. So that's pretty darn good. 65th for those who speak English, in pass defense at 218 yards a game, and then 42nd in total defense at 315 yards a game. So my question for both of you, and we'll let Connor go first this time, is this Wyoming defense for real? Do you think this is going to be a strength for the team as the season goes along?
I think the run defense is for real, but I think the secondary hasn't been tested thus far. The front seven, you know, put pressure on Jordan Johnson against Montana the whole game. It made him throw a little wild overthrow, and turns out he was playing with a concussion. Air Force, you know, they're not a throwing team, but our corners still were exposed on both sides, tackling for sure. This week will show us a lot. I mean, Oregon, they aired out Marcus Mariota as a premier quarterback. He's going to be top 10 draft pick most likely in the NFL this year. So the run defense, I think, is for real. The secondary, I think there's still a lot of question marks.
Okay, fair enough. How about you, Brad?
You know, I think the defense is – I've been raving about it for a while, and so far they've shut down two premier rushing attacks. You know, Montana, despite being FCS, have a very good running attack that would compete with a lot of FBS schools, and Wyoming totally shut him down, held him 43 yards. Then they come in against Air Force and hold, you know, the triple option attack to 151 yards. And I think I made a comment on Twitter to the effect of, you know, if this was last year, that number probably would have been double.
Oh, so easily.
I think it was a terrific effort on the defense part. But whether that remains sustainable, you know, who knows? They've got another very good rushing attack this week in Oregon. And if there's somebody that runs the ball really well, it's the Oregon Ducks. Except for they do it a lot faster and they're a lot quicker on the snap. I couldn't even imagine what the defense would be like if we were running the Dave Christensen zone read against this Oregon Duck offense. My God.
Yes, and that's what's going to be my point. I think now, under the last couple years of Christensen, he kept on saying that it's not my scheme that's the problem on defense, it's the players. And I think we're seeing that totally opposite now because it's the same players, it's a different scheme. And as we said, they switched from a two-gap system to a one-gap system, and so the defense is a lot more aggressive, and they're out there just playing football instead of thinking too much.
Well, when you hire Chris Tormey to be your defensive coordinator, of course I'd say it was the players. That was a really silly thing to do in the first place.
All right. Silly.
Oh, cute.
It was so silly that we're going to play the sad trombone.
Oh, my God. The live studio audience got a trombone in there now?
They do. He's pretty good. I think he went to Juilliard. All right. Now let's move on to our next topic here. And I guess that's just some of the play calling. So I think it's just hard for me, even though I like this style of football and I believe in it, but you have to throw away these style points. We have to think of this as kind of like an NFL type of thing to where win and be happy, and I'm thrilled that we beat the Air Force, but just for a while there, it kept like we were running the ball up the middle just to run the ball. And if you're going to rush the ball, I appreciate the commitment to the running game, but you have to mix it up a little, you know? Here's some of the stats. These are bad stats, and we won't win many games doing this, I don't think. We had 12 rushes for 30 yards in the first half and 14 rushes for 21 yards in the second. Those are some pretty ugly running numbers. And so if a team's bread and butter is going to be running the ball, I think we're going to have to do a lot better job, and a lot of that has to do with the play calling. If you're running it up the middle 10 times and you're only getting a yard a carry, well, guess what? It's time to switch that up. So we'll start with you again, Connor. What do you think about the running game and some of the adjustments that might have to be made?
It was weird because we ran the ball so well against Montana, and they have an outstanding front seven. They'd probably be one of the better front – at least their defensive line would be one of the better ones in the Mountain West Conference, in my opinion, with Wagaman. He's going to be an NFL draft pick. But it was weird. I don't know. I think while you're right that we run it up the middle and we're getting stuffed, that we need to open it up a little bit and try some different things. I think it opened up the play action fake a little bit and let Kierkegaard go deep, and that's when he showed off his arm strength. So it goes a little both ways. I think as Kierkegaard gets a little bit more confidence, and he showed it in the second half on Saturday night, that you're going to see a little bit more of that. You're going to see him throwing the ball around and spreading it out a little bit more. Because we have awesome receivers, and they showed it. They were far superior to Air Force's secondary.
No, that's a fair point, Connor. Okay, what about you, Brad?
Oh, what was the question?
About the running game.
Yeah. You know, God, just watching Saturday night, you know, I'm with you. You know, you mentioned they were running the ball just to run the ball, and it seemed like there was a lot of times they were running the ball just to run the ball, and it kind of blew my mind there for a second because, you know, Wick is your run-up-the-gut guy, and May is your run-off-tackle guy, and it seems like they were kind of flip-flopping him right there, you know, maybe for a change of look, but, man, Sean May got hit, like, I think he was, like, negative 1 yard at one point in, like, the third or fourth quarter because they just kept hammering him up the middle, and every time he went up the middle, they just stuffed him and were turning backwards.
Yeah, because Air Force was, I mean, they were literally blitzing up the middle, like, three-fourths of the time.
Yeah, they were ready for Sean Wick to come bulldozing through their alley. But, you know, I think the running game I don't know. It's going to be just fine. I think the offensive line is going to start figuring it out. I mean, against Air Force, they were forcing Colby Kirkegaard to do what a lot of us didn't think he could do, and that was throw the football. But, man, he sure surprised the Falcons. So I think that's probably why we saw a lot of pressure up front from Air Force, because they knew we were going to trample them all game long if we didn't. So I think, you know, once Kirkegaard, you know, gets a couple more games under his belt and proves that he can throw the football and do it effectively, we're going to see less stacked boxes and maybe open those guys up just a tiny bit.
That's true, but until he does that, and it's going to be a while before teams truly respect him, because he's going to have to do it. But, I mean, it's not asking too much to, you know, toss in a screenplay when you're getting heavy pressure up the middle, or a toss play to where you're getting, you know, the runner a head start running to the outside. It's just, I was just kind of surprised that we didn't see any of that even attempted.
Oh, man, yeah. And with seven guys stacking the box, throwing a screen would have been just hugely beneficial once or twice, just because, you know, let's get Air Force to stop throwing it, that many guys in the box.
The only play call I didn't understand was we had that fourth down, fourth and one, and we ran it right up the middle, as you would expect, but they put DJ May in to run it up the middle, and that's kind of Sean Wick's go-to play, so that's the only question I had.
Yeah, you're the only one shaking your head on that one.
Okay, and then we have, and I just wasn't on our list here, but I think we'll talk about it. What about that very odd situation to where it was fourth and inches, and we were lined up to ready to take the snap, and the referee said, oh, no, you can't snap the ball.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Coach Bull didn't see that one. I didn't know he can move like that.
That's a referee that needed his ass kicked in the worst way. That was terrible.
That was very odd, and Bull wouldn't comment on it in the postgame because he didn't want to get fined or in trouble.
He said a couple of four-letter words, but they were pretty PG-looking from the screen.
Yeah, and I admired the way he is on the sideline, his sideline demeanor. He's the complete opposite of Dave Christensen. Now, except for that one point to where he blew up after they wouldn't let us snap the ball, I mean, he's like a statue on the field. You can't really tell if we're ahead or if we're behind based on his appearance. So I think that's a good thing to have a coach who has an even keel.
Yeah, he totally exploded when that referee got in the way, but even Craig Bull exploding was like, you know, grandpa getting mad for you, you know, doing whatever. You know, it wasn't bad by any means.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's get back into the positivity. And you guys
let's complain about our first world problems. Oh, my God, we did this so bad even though we won.
Yes, exactly. So we are thrilled here. And
I can't believe we have made it this far into the podcast and we haven't even mentioned somebody picking against the Cowboys in this game.
I was about to mention that just right now, and that was me. And I said, hey, I didn't want to have to do it, but that's what my head was telling me, because I didn't think the offense would be able to – I mean, the defense would be able to slow down the running game, and they did. So they proved it to me. So that is – trust me, I'm shamed. I'm very shamed
right now. I won't frown and make bad faces at you if you pick against them this week.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now let's just get back. You guys both talked about Colby Kirkegaard and his big drive. Now, it seems that he got very comfortable, and they picked plays that they knew he was comfortable with. And on that last drive, he went 6 for 7 passing, and he had completions of 25 yards, 8 yards, 4 yards, 13 yards, 20 yards, and then the 3-yard pass to tight end J.D. Krill for what ended up being the game-winning score. So we'll throw this to you, Connor. Yes, and his awesome stash. So we'll throw this to you, Connor. How much do you think this will help Kirkegaard in the future, knowing that he's capable of producing this type of drive?
Oh, I think it's absolutely the biggest thing that could happen for him this season. Could you imagine if he would have thrown another interception on an attempt at a game-winning drive like he did against Cal Poly a couple of years ago? You know, I was talking with a couple buddies, and we weren't sure about Kirkegaard either, and we thought maybe if he didn't show up for this Air Force game that Thornton would take over halfway through the Oregon game and possibly see a lot more time against Florida Atlantic. And, no, Kirkegaard, that final drive, that was something else, and it was what you wanted from him. He looked good. He threw the ball with confidence. He threw it downfield, a lot of zip on it, And like I said, that whole second half, you could see his confidence just growing. He hit roof, ran a couple times deep. I think that it was paramount for his season, for any success this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Reed, what say you?
That was you got to think that that was a huge confidence boost for Kierkegaard. You know, to end a drive and a game like that, you know, going 6-for-7, you know, tossing that nice little bootlegged Krill. I mean, that's a huge confidence boost for a guy that maybe probably had a little bit of shaky confidence after an iffy start at Montana. And he took a lot of responsibility after that Montana game, saying, you know, that interception was bad, this is bad. And he went from 2 turnovers in the first game to 0 turnovers in this game, and he played much better. I don't know, he did everything 100% better than he was against Montana.
Yeah, that's something Bull talked about during fall camp too, that what he showed is when he messes up, he owns his mistakes and he improves on them, and that's what he did from week 1 to week 2.
And you notice in this game how he took a couple of more, you know, he maybe took another sack or threw the ball away a couple more times. You know, he wasn't forcing the ball into a very odd spot. So, you know, that was a little bit of growth on his part to throw the ball away instead of trying to force a play or, you know, do something silly that's going to cost the team, especially in a tight game against Air Force where, wasn't it 15 to the last 21 or something like that had been decided on the last drive of the game?
Pretty much.
I think that was the stat that popped up on the screen.
Yeah, so I was going to joke, why don't we just, to save us all time, why don't we just start these Wyoming Air Force games in the fourth quarter with a tied score? That's pretty much what you get pretty much every time these past few years.
Yeah, except last year, that's the way it seems to go. It always comes right down to the end.
That's true. Last year we did lay the wood on them, and that was enjoyable as well. But let's just talk about this offense a little more. You could see, even when we were misfiring, you could tell that the yards are there to gain. It's a very good scheme, I think. And once we get the talent to be able to play it, and with the defense, I mean, you could see the framework is there for this to succeed at a very high level in this conference, especially once we get the tight end and the fullback position fully integrated, because it's, you know, we're basically starting from scratch there. So what do you guys think about the future of the offense as we evolve into the football season?
I think it's going to be really tough to I think it'll be tough to get a read on the offense this week. I mean, God, we're playing one of the best teams in the country and an offense that is probably one of the best college football has ever seen in history and a defense that is severely underrated. So it's going to be really hard to tell what the future of the offense is based off the Oregon game, and anybody that really makes an assumption off of that needs to step back and realize what the Oregon Ducks are.
Yeah, but I'm talking in general for the rest of the season now.
I'm not done yet.
Okay. Then proceed, sir.
I will. And, you know, the same thing goes for the Michigan State game. They're a premier defense the last 2 or 3 years in the NCAA. So I think, you know, judging based off of that might be silly too. But I think if you look at, you know, Boise State's defense might be a little down. Utah State's defense might be a little down compared to last year. So, you know, I think we can get a pretty good gauge. We're not going to really gauge a whole lot of Florida Atlantic. That's a terrible team. So I think once we get into Mountain West play, we're going to see this offense kind of grow and evolve. And I'm guessing that by the end of the season, they'll be probably middle of the pack offensively, maybe top third or higher in rushing. Probably in the country, maybe not necessarily in the conference even, but definitely in the country. And the passing attack, I would expect more than 2,500 yards out of this offense. Passing, anyway.
Okay. What about you, Connor?
I agree with Brad. I think, obviously, you're not going to be able to gauge much off of Michigan State or Oregon. But, hey, they might surprise a little bit, gain some yards. Oregon's shown that they can be scored on in the last 2 weeks. I mean, against, was it South Dakota they played first game? They gave up some rushing yards and some points. Mm-hmm. And Michigan State came out and kind of hit him in the mouth in the second quarter. So there's points to be had, and we could see some growth regardless of the outcome and some improvement, and you might see it in that Florida Atlantic game. Maybe we don't have a nail-biter for once. But no, I think in the as far
technical difficulties here, as Connor has lost his microphone. and he's back.
Little malfunction there. Sorry about that.
No problem.
But no, like I was saying, I think that Kierkegaard will get more confidence as the season goes on, and our receivers are, we have really good receivers, and that's going to be a lot towards Kierkegaard's growth, and I think the running game is going to be the running game that we expect from Bull.
Okay, so now let's focus solely here on the Oregon game, and I have a little question for you both. And so Bull was famous for getting his, you know, North Dakota State teams ready to beat teams from that upper division. And so now that he's in, you know, the old 1A designation, I still call it that. I don't get caught up in this FBS, FCS stuff. But now that he's basically in 1A, he's never been in this switch situation before. So what do you think is Coach Bowles' message to the team this week to get them to believe that they can compete? Or do you think he's saying that? What do you think? This is totally hypothetical. And we'll start with Connor.
I think that I think his track record speaks for itself, and if he wanted to show some highlights or some statistics, he could definitely back himself up. He's taken down some monsters as far as North Dakota State taking on Big 12. They were the reigning champs at the time of the Big 12, Kansas State, just last season. So I think his track record speaks for itself, and he'll get the players to believe. But with that being said, I don't know if I mean, there's no question that Bull hasn't ever seen a team like Oregon has this year, and I don't know if Wyoming's ever seen a team like this in the past few years, besides maybe Texas in 2009, but he has his hands full, and in his track record and his offense and his style, and the team believes so much this year, and they seem so confident, they might be able to hang for a little bit.
Brad.
You know, I don't know if you guys watched the North Dakota State-Kansas game. When Kansas State, you know, they were obviously down like Colin Klein, so they had a big player that had graduated. But watching that fourth quarter drive where North Dakota State put that game away against KSU, I mean, that Bull mentioned this again after the win against Montana, where that fourth quarter drive was, that's the kind of drive that breaks a team's will. And he did that against Kansas State, where if you watch that fourth quarter drive, it was just, you know, converting third downs, you know, they just marched the length of the field, just ate up so much clock and just demoralized that Kansas State defense. And, you know, that's the kind of drive that breaks a team's will. And I think Bull is going to preach that pretty heavily. You know, if they can get a couple of drives, sustained drives against Oregon, where they can break the will of that Oregon Duck defense for a little bit, you know, maybe we'll put some points on the board and maybe, you know, gain a few yards. But I don't know how well you can break a defensive team's will when you're the number two or three team in the country. So I don't know what Bull tells his North Dakota State teams, but they sure had a lot of confidence going into those games and believed that they were truly going to win those games. And more often than not, the Bison won those games. And I think he's got his players here at Wyoming totally bought into that line of thinking and system. So, you know, maybe we can demoralize that Oregon Duck defense once or twice and get some positivity out of it.
Well, there we go. And if you think about it now, I'm just trying to think through the history of this Wyoming program. And, you know, I go back to the early 90s, and this Oregon team that we're about to face is ranked number two in the country. Might be the best team Wyoming's had on their schedule since, what, like 94 Nebraska?
Yeah. 2009 Longhorns were pretty good.
Yeah, they went to the national championship that season. We played them in
Miami. Okay. All right, I forgot about that.
Heisman Trophy year, too.
Okay. So it's right up there. It's one of the top three games that we've played in the past 20 years or so.
Except the difference this time is we're in the Otton Zoo and not the friendly confines of War Memorial.
Correct. So, all right, so with all that in mind and the uphill battle that we are going to face, because, you know, they're a legitimate national title contender and we're in year one of building from the bottom up after, you know, some not-so-good years, Wyoming enters the game as a 43.5-point underdog. I guess before we get your guys' predictions, is there any chance we can, you know, make the people in Vegas upset and cover the spread?
I absolutely think we can cover the spread, but covering the spread is going to require us to do two things, and one of those things is ball control, you know, long sustained drives, not going three and out. The other one's no turnovers, you know, one pick six or one, you know, kick return or anything like that, and that's when the spread becomes a very real thing. But, you know, if you've got long sustained drives, we can cover the spread. South Dakota did. And South Dakota did it without their starting quarterback because they put him out halfway through the game.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Connor?
I don't think there's any question that we can cover the spread. It seems like Wyoming has a history for covering these types of games on the road. Like I said, I don't think there's any question, but we need to stay healthy. That's the main thing coming out of this game in fairly good shape. But, gosh, Oregon, they've been campaigning hard for Mariota to get that Heisman Trophy, and if our secondary is not up to the task, they might look at this and get him a few more touchdowns because to just put those stats up. Because Pac-12, there's some defenses in Stanford and USC, and Wyoming looks like a game where, you know, get him 5-6 touchdowns.
No. Last week they put up, was it 48 on Michigan State?
Sounds about right.
Okay. I think that is the number two. So just the point is that terrifies me because Michigan State has one of the best defenses in the country. Now they play in the Big Ten, so that kind of skews their stats at the end of the season. But, you know, the past 4 or 5 years they've been consistently ranked in the top 10 in defense. And so if Oregon can put 48 on the likes of them, we really are in for an uphill battle. So it'll be really interesting to see if we can slow them down and what we can learn from this game. And Connor, I didn't write this down, but you made that your point of just staying healthy. Because how many times have we seen Wyoming lose a key player or two for an amount of time after one of these high-profile games? It's just something that we can't afford to have right now with the depth or the lack of depth in the program.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I think that's number one priority for this game. An upset would be great, but it's far-fetched and it's highly unlikely. And I think we need to come out because we have a full season ahead of us and we have two of these games.
All right, Brad, are you still researching something there? Or?
No, I was looking at the South Dakota statistics. That's Joe Glenn, South Dakota Coyotes, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like South Dakota put up 172 yards rushing on them. But South Dakota's got a really good running back, Trevor Boma. I remember him from the Montana game last year. He's a pretty good back, and he gained 60 yards. They had another guy that had 13 yards a carry. I don't know what the hell they were doing with him. He had 5 rushes, 13 yards a carry. I don't know. He must have had a huge return or a huge breakaway run or something mixed in there.
Mm-hmm. That's possible. So, all right, so now it's time to put everybody on the hot seat for a little prediction time. And remember, don't say something ridiculous like I did last week and be ridiculed and laughed at. So, Connor's new to the show, so we'll let him go first, guests first. Connor, what does your crystal ball say?
I see us covering the spread, but not my butt by much. Like I said, it seems like Oregon's been campaigning hard for Mariota to get that Heisman Trophy, and this is a game where he could put up some numbers if that secondary's undermanned. I'll go ahead and say 52-17.
Okay. Brad.
This is a tough one. I'm kind of leaning towards about maybe 48-10 Oregon. Maybe someday we can say the reverse and make that a Wyoming 48-10 move, but, you know, Mariota, man, that guy's a very special talent. He doesn't look like much, you know, just looking at him, but he's a really gifted athlete, and he's got a lot of people around him, and that's a tough team.
And how big is he? I guess I'm not too familiar. Do we know? I always thought of him as a smaller guy.
6'4", runs a 4'4".
Okay. Well, there you go. Never mind. That tells you how much I know. That is NFL size for sure and speed, so.
That's definitely NFL speed for a quarterback.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right, I'm going to check in at, I don't see, I think running the ball might be able to slow Oregon down a little bit, but, I mean, they're just such a quick strike offense, especially with the speed they have and the receivers and getting outside. Our secondary doesn't tackle very well sometimes, and we might be a step or two off in our coverage. So I'm going to go 55-10 Oregon. So we're basically all in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, I think, and especially if we have some early turnovers and Oregon gets the ball, and gosh, it could get ugly quick. But like Brad was saying with that Kansas State drive North Dakota State had, if we could control the ball a little bit in the first half, we might hang in there a little bit, a little while.
Did you guys see this? I seen this stat pop across Twitter today, but it was Marcus Mariota, his from the time he gets the ball in his hand to when he throws it is like 2.6 seconds. So the ball is out of his hand nearly immediately after getting it in the snap. So linebackers, you know, the secondary and linebackers got to be ready for that ball to become firing out of there. Because as soon as the ball snapped, it's gone.
Definitely. So that does, it impacts, you know, your blitzing, because if you're blitzing, you're not going to get there in time, and then you're leaving all that space for all that speed to get behind. So does make it very difficult. It's a very difficult proposition. So we still have some time here. We're for the having three people on, we are pretty good in the time department. So let's just talk in general about these types of games. Now, I know these schedules are made far in advance, but I guess ideally, what would you like a Wyoming out-of-conference schedule to look like? And knowing that there's big changes coming with all this, you know, Power 5 conference power grab, to basically they're going to be on their own, making their own rules. That's going to have a big impact in the future. But do you want to see a big game like this every year for where Wyoming, you know, travels on the road and takes on a powerhouse team?
I love it. Oh, go ahead, Brad.
You know, the nice thing with this game is it's a home-and-home, so the Ducks are going to be in Laramie in, like, 2015, 2016, something like that.
So, yeah, I think 17 or, yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so we've got home-and-homes with Oregon, we've got home-and-homes with Missouri, home-and-home with Washington State. So, going on the road this time isn't so bad because we're getting a return trip out of it. Michigan State, we're not getting a return trip, that's fine, but we're going to steal their money anyway, so I'm pretty happy about that.
That's true.
So I think that these games are necessary. You know, this is how you grow your program. This is how you grow your fan base. You know, Appalachian State didn't get popular because they won three FCS championships. Appalachian State got popular because they knocked off Michigan State in the Big House. You know, it's games like that that really build a fan base and get your name in the paper, so to speak. So I'm all for these. 2-1 year is a little rough, but, you know, that's just the way it shook out this year. We'll deal with it. But, you know, playing Power 5 teams is absolutely what we need to be doing as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. And this Michigan State game came about because, Michigan State was searching for this open home date that's coming up, and basically we needed money to replace the field turf. So Michigan State basically bought our new field turf.
Thanks, Michigan State.
Yeah. Now, it's funny that you mentioned this here, Brad, that we actually, Wyoming just today announced some new series. We got a home-and-home against Northern Illinois. That's just been announced.
Northern Illinois was announced, but they just moved the...
Yeah, they moved some dates around. So that's on the thing. The Clemson date got pushed back to 2021. But we have a new series, and you just mentioned them. We're playing a home-and-home against Appalachian State, who is making the move to the Division 1A FBS. They will join the Sun Belt for this season, which I didn't know they were already in there. Wow. So I didn't know that Appalachian State was in the Sun Belt for this season, and they're not eligible for a bowl game, but they will be next year, and that's when we're going to play them in 2015.
I think you meant the Fun Belt.
The what?
The Fun Belt.
Oh, the Fun Belt. Is that its new name?
It's got to be.
Okay, well, fun to watch. All right, so we got Maction and the Fun Belt now.
yeah, I'm really excited about the Appalachian State game. Those guys came to Missoula 2 years ago for the semifinal playoff, and or 3 years ago, I guess it was. But their fans were terrific. They are a ton of fun. They're just like Wyoming fans. They like to drink. They have like to have a good time, and they love their football. Boone is actually, here's a fun fact for you. Boone is the highest campus on the East Coast at 3,600 feet.
Oh, we laugh at that.
We do laugh at that, but they're just like, you know, Laramie's the highest campus on the West Coast, and Appalachian State's the highest campus on the East Coast.
Well, maybe we should get some kind of trophy for that, like the altitude trophy.
Yeah, no kidding. But
so,
still
all right.
Suck wind, so.
Uh-huh. So, all right, well, I think we covered everything, so everybody enjoy the Wyoming game this weekend, and it is on TV on the Pac-12 channel.
Yeah, the Pac-12 network.
Yes, I don't know how many people get the Pac-12 network. I think I do, actually, which is good news for me, so I'll be watching. So that's where you'll find it.
So that's a pretty early start for you, isn't it, Chad? Or no, that'd be a late start for you.
I don't know what time's the game. Is it like noon Pacific time?
I think it's an 11 o'clock start here in Montana.
Okay. So it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon for me, so I'll be ready to go to watch. So, yeah. So everybody enjoy that. And if you don't get the Pac-12 network, well, then you'll get to listen to Dave and Kevin, which is also pretty darn good.
Agreed.
So, all right. Well, thank you, Connor, for joining us this week. Thank you for your insight.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys.
Uh-huh. And, folks, you could always read Connor. He blogs from time to time, especially on Thursdays. He's doing Players to Watch on the Wyo Nation blog. So be sure to check that out.
Always a good research blog there.
Yes. And so, and thank you, Brad, for creating this glorious website in which we host this glorious podcast.
Yay.
So, all right. For Brad Reed and Connor Cunningham, I'm Chad Smith. Thank you for listening to the Wyo Nation podcast.